welcome to episode 28 of Victims of Fun. We are, guess where we are today? You may be able to tell by some of the background noise, but we are live from the beach. Yes, we are. We are live from the beach today. And, it's quite nice. It's very nice out. And the waves are kind of rolling in. You got some birds chirping in the background. I figured, you know, it's kind of good to get out and be outside, because vitamin D and sunshine is good for you, because people should be outside more instead of locked up in their studios recording their podcasts. So as always, I want to thank the fine folks at Anchor. Best podcast software on the planet, very easy to use, all the tools are right there at your fingertip. Go to anchor.fm or the Apple Play Store or Google Play, because you can download it to your phone and podcast on the go. So if you meet somebody interesting or see some aliens or something, you can start podcasting. They'll monetize it for you, you can make some money, and they will distribute it to many podcast distribution networks, especially Spotify. Also want to thank the fine folks at Blue Microphones, because this podcast is recorded exclusively on the Blue Snowball Yeti. It's a nice white one. Thanks again to the fine folks at Seagate for building such an awesome and reliable and quiet SSD drive. Victims of Fun is stored exclusively on a Seagate SSD drive. And a shout out to my buddies at Apple for building such an incredible laptop. Victims of Fun is made on an Apple MacBook Air M1. So I hope everybody's having a good day today. Remember, you can email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Just do a search for Victims of Fun or Fun Victims, and you'll see the logo, and just click on it and follow. And interact with us. We try to be as active as we can. You can also hit the support button when you're listening and throw us some cash, because we need... Look, I don't want to start an OnlyFans to raise money, because OnlyFans would pay me not to be on their site, if you get my drift. But, you know, it's going to come down to that. So you people need to start throwing me some cash, because I got... You know, I want to buy a mixer, improve the... I'm specifically thinking of my audience, okay? This money would be invested for your benefit, not mine. It's not like I'm going to take the money and get myself like a villa in Greece or an apartment in Monaco or a Tesla or so. I would never do something like that. This money all goes towards the podcast. I want to get a mixer, I'm going to get a MIDI keyboard, you know, a whole bunch of things. I'm going to hire somebody to set up my Twitch channel. So when you're on Anchor with your podcast, you have the ability to... they partnered with WordPress, and you have the ability to have a WordPress blog site to promote your podcast. And for the life of me, I can't get this thing to work. I've used Wix before, and it's pretty easy. But WordPress, it's just the way the system is set up on WordPress to move the blocks around and the themes and the colors. I just want a basic, simple, static web page that's just going to have the logo, a little bit of information about me, an RSS feed, the episodes, the episode guides, and, you know, the follow us on social media buttons, and, you know, that type. That's all I want it to do. I don't need an interactive website with a whole bunch of weird things on it, because I'm not at that level yet. Oh, my God, I can't get WordPress to... I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm very good with computers. I've always been good with them, but WordPress is just beyond me. I can't get it to do anything. And I like Wix, but it would be so difficult to link Wix to the Anchor WordPress thing. And I kind of... I'm the type of person that likes to keep it in family. You know, and... I would rather go through Anchor to get the WordPress blog site up and running. I just can't figure it out. I have to devote a day just to figuring it out. I just want it static. Like, if I could just... And WordPress gives you all these templates and themes, and you can't just get something blank. I just want blank. Because if I can just get a blank web page. I would put in the logo. I'd put in the title of the podcast, the episode guides, the RSS feed, and then I would have, you know, a little bit of information about me and the history of the podcast, and then the follow us on social media buttons and the email me button, and that's and a little bit of room at the bottom because I want to get some like affiliate stuff going for some extra money because there's a couple companies I like supporting. Like Oak City Beard. I have a beard. Not like ZZ Top, but you know I have a beard. And I exclusively use their beard balm and their beard butter and all their beard care products for my beard. And I've been using them for years, even before I ever had the idea to do a podcast. And I kind of want to, like, you know, give them some, you know, shout-outs and some business and because I like them. And they have an affiliate thing. And so I want to sign up for that and stick it on the WordPress site. Because, you know, if somebody clicks on it, I get a commission. You know, and I want to do a whole thing of, oh, you know, Oak City Beard is the official beard care product of El Stevo. And something like that. But, I can't get WordPress to work, and I set something up, and now it's got a theme on it that I don't want. I can't figure out how to get rid of it, and I just want to blank the whole thing out and start over. And there's no instructions, there's no manual. You go on YouTube, and these people on YouTube just assume you've done this before. Like, nobody is like, okay, I know you're an idiot, and you've never done this before. Let's start. Everybody's like, okay, well, I assume you've been using WordPress for years, so here's how you do it. And I'm like, no, that's not how you teach somebody. I used to be a teacher, and I didn't just walk in and go, hey, I'm sure you're all very, very good with your grammar and your phonetics and your pronunciation, so let's just dive right into Moby Dick. You know, no, that's not how it works, okay? And I don't want to pay somebody to do it because I'm cheap, and I admit it. But, yeah, and then the Twitch thing is that I can't, that's like nuclear physics to me. And, you know, my friend Haley, you know, the one who's into K-pop, has a Twitch stream where she plays Fortnite. I don't know how she set the damn thing up. And some of these Twitch streams are just incredibly fun and interactive and everything. I can't even get what I want to stream up on the Twitch stream. I just don't know what I'm doing. So, I don't know. And then, but I think the WordPress blog site's important. So I gotta work on that more. I get frustrated. I'll sit there for a couple hours, accomplish nothing, and then I'll go drink. You know? But anyway, so I want to talk about, the Academy Awards were the other night. And I remember as a little kid, in the 70s and 80s, and I loved watching the Academy Awards. And they were always on a Sunday. And I remember I always was allowed to stay up late to watch them, you know, before I got older. And I was still in, like, you know, elementary school and middle school and whatnot. And my mom, you know, I always was allowed to stay up and watch Carol Burnett show, too. Which was great, because that's like the gold standard of comedy. But anyway, so I mean, I remember sitting there when The Right Stuff came out, and I'm like keeping track how many Oscars it won. I remember getting angry that it didn't win Best Picture. And I'm like, Terms of Endearment, what the hell is that crap? Doesn't she die at the end? That's stupid. I, you know, and I would watch the Oscars, and you know, I remember watching Bob Hope as the host, and Johnny Carson, and Billy Crystal, and it was great, you know, it was like a family event. But since, I don't know, since like around 2000-something, you know, the Oscars have just been absolutely just horrid. They nominate films nobody ever sees. And it's all, see, here's the thing, whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, I don't care. I really don't. It's your opinion, it's your life, go for it. But regardless of the political stand you're taking, you shouldn't flood the Oscars with it. And I don't care if you're pushing a left-wing, a right-wing, a liberal or conservative, a Democrat or Republican viewpoint. Just shut up and do the Oscars. And You would think with the country in the shape that it's in now, to have a bunch of pampered, overpaid, out-of-touch people showing up for a self-congratulatory award session. The gift bag. They get gift bags every year at the Oscars. The gift bags this year were worth $250,000 a piece. How many homeless people could that have fed? How many homeless veterans could that have helped? How many college educations for disadvantaged people, regardless of whether they're black, white, Asian, Indian, whatever, Hispanic, how many scholarships could that have funded? And half of that stuff probably ended up in the garbage. And then they built this giant wall around the ceremony for safety, but basically it was to keep the public out. And then the city of Los Angeles, all the homeless people disappeared. Like, because apparently, I guess, where they had the Oscars is a pretty good-sized homeless encampment. And I'm not talking people just living on the streets. I'm talking people who have like a kind of like a functioning mini-society there. They were all gone. Gone. Where'd they go? You know, that's some 1933 Kristallnacht Nazi bullshit right there, where a whole bunch of people just disappear. I mean, really? But it just, it's so obscene and so over the top and so the money. It's just, in this day and age, with so many people getting kicked out of their houses, losing their jobs with the pandemic and everything, to have these overindulgent, pampered, living in a bubble, you know, barely talented individuals with their little self-congratulatory awards thing. It's no one, and nobody watched. According to the ratings, like, they got killed. They were down 50% from last year, and last year was the lowest rated show they ever had. And now it's this year. And, like, they got beat by, like, in the ratings by, it was something else. I think, like, a documentary on wrestler Rowdy Roddy Piper actually beat them in the ratings. And there used to be a time where the Oscars did 45, 50, 60 million viewers, and now nobody watches it. And I remember years ago, there were only 5 Best Picture nominees, and then to kind of make the awards more popular, they expanded it to 10. But then they were nominating almost anything. And it's just, it's gotten out of hand. I mean, I think the People's Choice Awards are more of an indication of what the public likes than the Academy Awards ever are. Because Academy Awards are all political. I remember back in the day, Miramax and Harvey Weinstein, or Weinstein, whatever his name, Harvey Weinstein is the guy with the gravel voice. Hello, darling. Harvey Weinstein and Miramax were basically buying Oscars. Like, supposedly that's how Shakespeare in Love beat Saving Private Ryan, because they just bought that Oscar. It's how Crash won, and a whole bunch of films that didn't deserve it. And it's all political, it's all money, and I read, there's every year they interview some Academy voters under a very, very strict anonymous thing. And I can't remember if it's Rolling Stone or Variety that does it. But every year, they get about 4 or 5 of them to comment on the nominees and everything. And these are people that are actual Academy voters, and their identities, even to the people doing the interview, is like completely unknown. Like, they set it up through an anonymous channel. And you should read some of the things these Academy voters say, that, you know, oh, I didn't see most of these pictures, so I let my housekeeper just pick everything, or I don't know who this person is, but, you know, I like their dog, type of thing. And it's just, it's absolute stupidity. But the Oscars last night, so, if you ever watch the Oscars, there was always a certain order with things. Best Supporting Actor always came first. It was the first big award. Then it would be Best Supporting Actress, then the 2 screenplays, and then some like filler awards here and there. Then the 2 screenplay awards, adapted and original. And then blah, 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 blah. And then they would do best song, which they didn't even play the songs last night. And then the order always went actor, actress, or actress, actor. They alternated. Then director, and then film. Best film always ended the show. It's always ended the show. It's ended the show since it's ever started. Well, last night, the Academy Awards decided that they were going to flip things around, and they made the Best Actor Award the last award of the evening. Now, why? Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther, unfortunately passed away of colon cancer. The guy was a giant in the film industry. He very young, supremely talented. I mean, not just Black Panther. I mean, his portrayal of James Brown is just, oh my God. Just I can't even begin to list the movies he's done where he was a titan. Denzel Washington was his mentor. Denzel actually paid for Chadwick Boseman to go to Oxford to study acting. And since, I think it was 2017, he was fighting stage 4 colon cancer. So he did all of his movies from that point forward. That includes Black Panther and the Avengers and everything. He was doing them all with stage 4 colon cancer. He had dozens of surgeries, tons of chemo. Apparently he was consuming massive amounts of calories a day to keep his weight up because he didn't want people to know he was sick. Because in Hollywood, if they know you're sick, like if you have a condition, if you have cancer or a heart condition or something, you don't get hired. Because then the film companies have to put up a massive insurance bond in case you drop dead during the filming. I mean, if you remember Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, they all knew Spencer Tracy was dying. They didn't want to hire him. Katharine Hepburn had to put up his salary, and she had a guarantee that if Spencer Tracy died before the film was done, she would pay to reshoot all his scenes so they could finish the film. But Chadwick Boseman didn't tell anybody. And if looking back on the things he did, looking back on Avengers, and even when he hosted Saturday Night Live, you couldn't tell he was sick. I mean, he started getting thinner towards the end, and you're like, okay, he's losing weight. I mean, he bulked up maybe for Black Panther or whatever. But like, he doesn't look sick. And then he just dies. So, he was nominated for Best Actor. And the Academy was so sure he was going to win. Now, remember, these are all secret ballots. Even the Academy president and all of them, they don't know who won. It's only that accounting firm. I forget their names, but they're very famous because every year they do the Academy Award thing. And they're the only ones who know the winners. And they have the winners in the envelopes in a sealed briefcase with an armed guard. And when the category comes up, they open up the envelope, they open up the briefcase, take out the envelope, give it to the actor to walk out on stage to announce a winner. Nobody knows. I remember reading that even the person holding the briefcase doesn't know. That the only people who know are the people who counted the vote and the head of the accounting firm, because they make a copy. So that in case anything gets messed up, they can prove that, no, this actually won. So, the Academy and everybody was so sure Chadwick Boseman was going to win, and they decided we're going to make the Best Actor announcement last. Because it'll be a great feel-good moment. He's going to win, his family will come up, talk about his legacy, talk about his life, talk about the things he represented, and a symbol he was to... And you got to remember something. The huge symbol in the African-American community. But he was also somebody that anybody, regardless of your color, could look up to. I mean, he was just that good. He was like Muhammad Ali. It didn't matter that Muhammad Ali was a black Muslim. A young Jewish kid could look up to him. A young Italian kid could look up to him. A girl could look up. It didn't matter. Chadwick Boseman was like that. He transcended his ethnicity into something else. Something that only comes along once in a generation. That's how much of a titan he was. And everybody's like, okay, here we go. He's going to win Best Actor. His family's going to come up and do it. It's going to be great. Joaquin Phoenix is up there, the guy who played the Joker. It's going to be great. This is going to be absolutely fantastic. Denzel's in the audience. This is going to be great. And then Anthony Hopkins wins. And you could hear a collective feather drop in the auditorium when Joaquin Phoenix reads Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins wasn't even at the event. Anthony Hopkins didn't even zoom in via satellite like a lot of the winners did because of the whole COVID BS. Because he just was like, well, I'm not winning this. I already have an Oscar. Chadwick Boseman's going to win. I don't care. I'm going to, you know, I'm 83 years old. Big deal. So he wasn't even anywhere. Like, he didn't I heard he didn't even know till the next day. But so everybody's ready. Everybody's ready. Joaquin Phoenix goes, and the Oscar goes to Anthony Hopkins. And just nothing. And then Joaquin Phoenix goes, well, okay. Good night, everybody. And that was the end of the show. Biggest face plant in the history of the Oscars. They were so sure he was going to win. And it just... yeah, the wrong person won. And I can't speak for Anthony Hopkins, but... I saw a play he directed in New York City, so I got to shake his hand and talk to him for like 10, 15 seconds. Just told him... you know, I didn't say anything about Hannibal Lecter or anything. You know, I just said, you know, that I always thought it was admirable, the whole theater thing, because how much more difficult I thought theater was than movies. And he shook my hand, and he smiled, and he said, it is insanely more difficult in the theater. Thank you. But the impression you got from him was a guy who just, you know, he's Anthony Hopkins. He's got nothing left to prove. I guarantee you, when he found out, he said, what the hell is this? The wrong person won. The wrong person won. And Chadwick Boseman's never going to have another shot at this because he's gone. He doesn't have any films that are left to be released because this was his last. Not like Tupac, who every 3 years manages to release another, you know, CD. You know? And supposedly they have 2,000 songs from Prince that he recorded that are ready to go. And, you know, Prince is going to be recording for the next 50 years. But, yeah, Tupac comes... I'm surprised Tupac hasn't been on tour. Oh, right, he was. His hologram. I forgot. Yeah, but, see, Chadwick Boseman's not like that. He's gone. He's not coming back. That was their last chance to do something for him. And if they ever give him the Lifetime Achievement Award, everybody's going to know that it's just because they screwed up this year. But I read the overnight ratings were just, like, nobody watched it. It was down 10 million from last year, 50% from last year. I think they said only 9 million people watched this year. But, see, the problem is that, you know, nobody saw any of the Best Picture nominees. Like, combined, their entire box office take, Godzilla vs. Kong made more in its opening weekend. And as much as I love Godzilla vs. Kong, and I think it's one of the best movies of the past 10 years, it's not a Best Picture. Okay, it's not. It just boggles my mind, you know? And combine that with them putting up a wall and getting rid of all the homeless people and the $250,000 gift bags and all the political stuff from everybody that gave. The only person who apparently didn't give a political speech, and I'm not going to say her name because I'm going to butcher it. She's a Korean lady, the old Korean lady who won Best Supporting Actress last night. I'll butcher her name if I try to say it, so I'm not going to insult her or her heritage by making the attempt. But she gave a great, funny, passionate, non-political speech. And she basically alluded to the fact that, you know, my sons forced me to get a job, and this is what I did. And then she goes, you see what happens when mommy goes to work? And she's waving the Oscar. Like, wow. But other than that, it was just... you know, people are just ripping the show apart. They rushed through the in memoriam thing, because every year they have the in memorial thing. I'll never forget the year they forgot Abe Vigoda. Everybody went nuts. Where, you know, they... they showed a little vignette of the vignette or whatever of the people who passed away. And apparently, because I didn't watch the show, but apparently last night it was almost like they played it at three times the speed just to get through it. And then they didn't play any of the songs, because I remember that was the big thing. I remember growing up, the Oscars, they always had the big glitzy production numbers. A lot of times they had production numbers that had nothing to do with the nominees, and then they eventually kind of phased that out and just had big production numbers of the songs. And I remember seeing Kermit the Frog sing Rainbow Connection, because it was nominated, and they had Kermit the Frog out there and he sang it. Robin Williams singing Blame Canada from South Park was... and then they actually had Audrey 2, the plant from Little Shop of Horrors, and Levi Stubbs himself, the only time he ever sang that song live, because Levi Stubbs was the voice of Audrey 2 in Little Shop of Horrors, and he sang the song Mean Green Mother from Outer Space. So they had the puppet in the background, and then I remember watching, like, how are they going to do this? And then Levi Stubbs comes out. I'm like, oh my God, they actually got him to be on the show. And see, that's the type of stuff I loved. And that's the type of stuff I remember. And, you know, they didn't even let Eminem do 8 Mile. Or Lose Yourself, actually. I'll never forget when he won and Barbara Streisand was one giving the award. She opens the envelope and she goes, oops, Eminem. And I'm like, well, really? It was a good song. But, I mean, you know, Gangster's Paradise won, if I remember correctly. But that was part of the big thing, was you always, the nominated songs always got played. I mean, Celine Dion, you know, My Heart Will Go On, even though everybody hates the song now because it got overplayed, she sang it live at the Oscars. And that was always something to look forward to, and the other night they didn't even play them. It was just, yeah, here are the songs. I don't know. I miss the old days of that. So anyway, I'm going to go up to the bar and get myself a pina colada. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back on Victims of Fun live from the beach. Thank you. And welcome back to Victims of Fun from our little break. We are live here at the beach. Probably hear the waves in the background. I got my pina colada. You know what I miss? Conch fritters. You ever have a conch fritter? Conchs are kind of like a shellfish looking thing. Mostly you get them in Florida in the Keys. But they make conch fritters out of them, which are kind of like, you know, the conch meat mixed with, I don't know if it's cornmeal or something, and make fritters out of them, little balls of dough or whatnot with the conch, and seasoned and everything. Oh, God, I love conch fritters. Very, very, very good. Very, very healthy. Well, I think they're healthy. I don't know. Then again, I think like a half-pound cheeseburger is healthy. What do I know? But I love conch fritters. I was a big seafood person growing up in New Jersey because I grew up on the ocean. You know, clams and blue claw crabs, and you know, some of my fondest memories are of my where I lived in New Jersey. There was back in the 70s, there was an old wooden wrecked barge that had crashed into a sand dune in the bay, which would have been Barnegat Bay. And if you ask anybody who lived in my town who's like my age or older, the barge, they'll remember. And we used to go, people would go there, you know, fishing off of the barge and crabbing and whatnot. And of course, today, you know, my God, you know, everybody is so afraid of getting hurt and suing that they would have torn the barge down. But they left the barge there because people used it for, you know, as a natural thing for crabs and fish to hang out in. So the town was like, yeah, okay, go ahead, just don't fall. And then my aunt and uncle had a place on Cedar Creek, and my grandfather go out with the big crab traps, and my other grandfather, my dad's dad, lived on a lagoon in New Jersey, and we used to throw the crab traps out there, and And I remember just in my aunt and uncle's house, my grandmother there, the big pot of boiling crabs, and she would get the Maryland salt spices and everything, Old Bay, and make them. And I remember my grandfather showed me how you put a crab to sleep. You flip it on its back and rub its stomach, and it like zaps right out like it's drunk or something. And I remember one time he threw the crab trap in and got torn up, and he pulled it out, and it was a snapping turtle the size of like a Chevy Impala hubcap in it, just tearing the crab net apart. The snapping turtles are pretty common in that part of New Jersey. And this thing just completely tore the crab trap up. I remember my father telling me when he was growing up in northern New Jersey, New Brunswick, there was a pond, and the ducks and the geese kept disappearing, and nobody knew why. And one day people, I guess, were at the pond, and they saw this duck in the water, and suddenly, poof, and it was gone. And I guess some people went out there, and they caught a snapping turtle that was like 3 feet long or something. I don't know if he was exaggerating, but it was killing all the aquatic birds that would land in the water. I guess like Jaws, it would just come up and get you. And, but yeah, oh my god, blue coral crabs, and you would just boil them up, and then have your melted butter, cracked claws, and zap, zap, zap. And used to get fresh clams and steam them, you know, or charbroil them, the oysters and stuff. We used to do that. And my grandmother wanted to make calamari, which was good. I mean, you didn't get the calamari from Cedar Creek. I don't know where they got it from. Probably ShopRite or something. I don't think squid live in that area. I don't think so. But I remember going, my friend Jim Riley, we would go with our fishing poles and catch a little baby snappers that would, you know, the baby snappers, they weren't real snappers. We called them snappers because they were baby bluefish. And they would hang out in the bay as they grew, and then when they got bigger and were bluefish, they'd go out into the ocean. And I used to go blue fishing on the boats that, because you could pay, I think it was like, back then it was like 20, 25 bucks, and they take you out and you catch all the bluefish you want, and for an extra $5 they'd fillet them. You used to do that. And I remember when I was about 12 or 13, my father would take me, and it was years later when I was much older, I found out that my father did not like being on a boat. I don't know if he was scared of it or just he got sick a lot, but he would take me anyway, and I always thought that was something, that he just physically was uncomfortable on something like that, but he did it for me, because that's what fathers are supposed to do. But, yeah, I would go out blue fishing and bring the bluefish home, and I remember one time we brought the bluefish home, and we actually filleted them in the backyard, and my mother hit the roof. But every cat in the neighborhood showed up. And then you'd take the bluefish, and we'd wrap them in foil and stick it on the grill. And that's what we used to do. We'd catch fish, and we'd fillet them. We'd add some salt and some lemon and some other spices and aluminum foil. Fire up the grill and put them on the top rack, not directly on the heat. And it would kind of, I guess, steam cook the meat and everything. And that's how we used to make them. I used to grill in the middle of the winter. It would be like minus 20 in New Jersey with like tons of snow coming down. I'd be out there making hamburgers. And I remember I used to do that, and my neighbor would look out the window like in total jealousy that I was making hamburgers, because I guess his wife wouldn't let him or something in the middle of the winter, and I'm out there, and of course the heat from the grill melted the snow on the back deck and everything, and I'm out there grilling my hamburgers. And see, I love grilling, because like, I would totally never use my oven. I have an air fryer. It's like the best thing I ever had, is an air fryer. You can make anything in that. But I would grill. Like, I always say, oh God, I wish I could retire in Monaco. I would have to live in a place with a balcony, because I would grill. Because I just love grilling. I, you know, meat, fish, pork, used to take peppers, green peppers, and you cut the top off, and you kind of empty out all the seeds in the middle, and you take hunks of provolone cheese or mozzarella and stick it in there and wrap it in foil and stick it on the grill to heat it up. And the cheese would kind of like bubble inside the pepper, and then you put it on the plate and undo the foil, and oh my god. You do that with apples too. You take apples and coat them in cinnamon and caramel or cinnamon and some other stuff, and then put them on a grill wrapped in something, and then you have baked apples with cinnamon through it. And the only thing I don't like is corn on a cob. My cousin's ex-husband always did that. He threw a corn on a cob on a grill. I'm like, no, you're supposed to boil this. Like, what are you doing? You know, corn on a cob is boiled. You don't throw on a grill. That's stupid. That's like putting pineapple on a pizza. You just don't do that. It's blasphemy. But it took me a long time to actually have, like, grilled lobster. Or even grilled shrimp, because my shrimp I always ate either fried or shrimp cocktail style. And lobster, you know, I always steamed or boiled. But then, you know, I tried it grilled, and I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. And you take the shrimp and you skewer them. And I did that. I take the skewer, and I put shrimp and peppers and onions and everything. And like a kebab. Take lobster tail, throw it on a grill. Comes out really good. But not corn on a cob. You don't do that. Does anybody grill corn on a cob? If you do, email me. victimsoffun@mail.com. I want to hear, because I don't like that. The corn gets burnt, and it just, when you boil it, I don't know, there's just something that makes the kernel sweeter, and you got that salt, and I remember it'd be like a stick of butter per ear, and it was just like, actually one year I had a great idea, because I said, this is stupid, cutting pieces of butter to put on my corn on a cob and having it like fall off. So I got a warming pot that like, had the little, you could put the little propane thing under it, almost like the propane can was like the size of a tuna fish can. And so I set that up, and I put like 7 sticks of butter in it. So the butter was always liquid. And then I would say, okay, now just dip your corn in the butter. And it actually worked out good. Because I would do that with my lobster, too. I would just, you know, make liquid butter and keep it hot on that thing, and then just dunk my pieces of lobster in it instead of just like cutting it in pieces, because that's stupid. You know, what am I gonna do with that? Just, you know. But the thing about corn on a cob is it always gets stuck in your teeth, and just, oh my god, be in there for an hour with a floss, and my gums would be bleeding. It was like somebody shot me in the face with a shotgun, and just blood coming out everywhere. Not now, but back then. Now my gums are actually pretty powerful. But yeah, you would find corn in the cob still stuck in your teeth like a month later. But it was great. That's how you're supposed to do it. You can't throw corn on a cob on a grill. I mean, does anybody do that? Other than my cousin's ex-husband, who was an Alabama fan, so that means he's not even human. So, I mean, I don't know. And grilled swordfish steaks, really, really, really good. Blackened grouper. There was a place in Anna Maria Island. I don't know if it's still there because of the hurricane that hit Florida a couple years ago. And, you know, being on the other side of the world, it's not like I can go check it out. But there was a restaurant called the Rod and Reel that was in Anna Maria Island. And it was out on a pier in the middle of the Gulf. And it was like a couple hundred feet out. And they would have grouper. You get black and grouper sandwiches, whatever. But they only had grouper when people pulled up to the restaurant in their boats that caught grouper. Because you weren't allowed to catch like one or two a season. It had to be a certain... The grouper are pretty protected there. So I remember one day I went there. And I was like, oh man, I want a grouper sandwich. She's like, well, there's no grouper so far. You'll have to wait. And 5 minutes later, a boat pulled up, and the guy had a grouper in it. The waitress comes back out and says, okay, grouper's on the menu. Give us about 45 minutes. And God, let me tell you, I would have waited 4 hours. But I don't know if it's still there or not, because it got a really bad hurricane a few years ago. It might have gotten clobbered. I mean, I don't know. But see, all that seafood stuff is good. Have you ever had fugu? That's the pufferfish. The point, like, if they don't make it correctly, you could like die from it because of the poison sac. And supposedly the chefs in Japan have to go to a special school for like years to learn how to prepare this so it doesn't kill anybody. And they always have to sample their cuts themselves. Like, they don't serve it to anybody but themselves as they're learning. Because the idea is, well, you know, you're serving it to yourself, you're going to be more careful. But I don't know if this is true or not, because I've had it here. And I haven't encountered this yet, but this might be something they stopped doing. But supposedly, back in the day, when you ordered this, there was like a whole ceremony. And the chef would come out, who prepared it, as you took your first bite. Because if you did it wrong, the first bite's going to poison you, and you're gonna die. Because there's no cure for this. And the idea was, is the chef would stand there as you took your first bite. And if it became obvious that he screwed up and you're poisoned, he was supposed to take out his knife and commit ritual suicide before you died. That way he could serve you in the afterlife forever, because he's the one that made you end up there. And I'm like, wow. What if somebody faked it? You know, but I don't think they do that anymore. But even, you always get this little tingling on it, okay? Because there's always trace amounts of the poison, I guess, in the meat. And it's kind of, your lips will tingle a little bit. But it is some of the best stuff you ever have. But I saw a YouTube documentary on how the chefs learn how to prepare it and everything. It's really fascinating how they do that. And you know what's really cool, too, is, you know, because obviously here, sushi. I had sushi for lunch, too. You should see how the guys here cut and fillet the tuna in the fish markets. Like, just coming to the fish markets in Japan is like a tourist thing. Because it's fascinating as anything to see, not just to see what they have available, but to see what goes into processing it. And so, the way and I don't know the Japanese terms for them, because, you know, I'm bad with the language, but the way the guy who prepares the tuna for sushi, with the knife he has, and how he fillets it and cuts it, it's like watching Zatoichi, the blind samurai, chop up a bunch of ninjas. It's incredible. If you ever go on YouTube sometime and look it up, it's how they do it. And these knives that they use, I mean, if you thought Hattori Hanzo's sword was sharp in Kill Bill, this thing would have cut it in half. And just the skill and the speed in which they can dismember, I guess, this tuna for sushi is just beyond belief. And it's not something that you can learn in a book or a classroom. You have to learn it from a master who trains you for years how to do this. I mean, it's almost like a dying art form, and no machine could ever do it. No machine could ever do the precision of what these guys do with this fish. But just going to the fish markets just to see what they have, the urchins and the squid and the octopus and all the different types of fish, and whale, because they eat whale here. And I disclosure, I've had it. It's not bad, actually. You see, the thing about whale is it's not technically seafood, so it's not fishy. It's more of a, it's kind of like a, to me, it's kind of like a beef thing. It's not actually bad if it's prepared correctly. It's pretty good. If you, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my god, a whale. Well, the whales that the Japanese hunt are like the most plentiful whales on the planet, and they're not even endangered. Like, there's too many of them, apparently. So whenever you watch a stupid show like Whale Wars or something with the sea shepherds trying to stop the Japanese from whaling, what people don't realize, people think they're out there killing blue whales or humpback whales. They're not. I think they're called mink whales or something. I mean, the whales that the Japanese specifically target are like the rabbits of the whale world as far as how quick they reproduce and how many of them there are. And literally, the Japanese could be out there 365 days a year hunting these things, and it would not put a dent in the population. That's how plentiful these whales are. But, you know, you have these idiots like the sea shepherds who just think, wow, man, it's like a whale. We have to like, stop it, man, by ramming the Japanese and sinking their ship and killing all of them. Yeah, that's really going to help. But no, it's whale's not bad. I mean, you know, it's pretty good. I'm trying to think of what seafood I don't like. All the seafood that anybody's ever put in front of me, I've tried. Some of it I like more than others, but, you know, like, there's some beef dishes I don't like. Like, I don't like veal at all. Liver, not really into liver. But pretty much almost every seafood I can think of or type of fish that somebody threw in front of me. Now, I haven't tried that Icelandic shark yet. You've heard about that. And I know the name. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not going to try to butcher it. But so it's a Greenland shark in Iceland. And it's Greenland shark. It's a huge shark. It's, like, big. They live to, like, 200 years old, they can be. Actually, supposedly, there's one down there they tag that's about 300 years old. So, anyway. So, it's a Greenland shark, and they kill it. And they bury the carcass in the sands in Iceland for months. Because the chemicals in the soil... See, these Greenland sharks are full of ammonia, which can kill you, like, instantly. But the chemicals in the soil absorb out all of the ammonia in the carcass. Then they dig the carcass up after a few months and test it to make sure that the ammonia is gone. Then they hang it up to dry for like almost a year, and it dries it out. And you don't get rid of all the ammonia taste and smell, but the bad ammonia chemicals that can kill you are gone. It's just the smell and the taste is still there. So they hang all these things up, and there's a traditional Icelandic alcohol you're supposed to drink with this thing, and they cut it up into cubes, and supposedly it's like a real men in Iceland eat this stuff. It's supposed to be very good for male performance, if you get my drift, but women eat it too, so maybe it's good for everybody. But there's an episode, there's something on YouTube with James May from Top Gear and Gordon Ramsay, and they're trying this Icelandic shark, and Gordon Ramsay takes one bite of it and throws up in a bucket, and James May just eats it without batting an eyelash, like it's nothing, and he just very dryly says, "Oh, you disappoint me, Ramsay." Because, like, it just doesn't bother him. But this knocked Gordon Ramsay on his ass. And, you know, Gordon Ramsay can take a hit from a nuke and still stand there. But, yeah, I always wanted to try that. But they don't sell it anywhere else. I don't think they're allowed to because of the way it's made. But, yeah, if I was ever in Iceland, I would try that. Like, in a heartbeat. You know? I would definitely do it. Just so I could say, you know, I tried this. I'd probably puke my guts out, but you never know. You know. You know, I've had raw oysters and it doesn't bother me. And sushi, of course. Love sushi. I could eat a volcano rolls every... The only thing with me about sushi is, like, because I had sushi for kind of a late lunch, early dinner, and now I'm, like, hungry again, because sushi doesn't fill you up, and now I'm like, oh, God, I wish I had a cheesesteak. So when this is over, I gotta go hunting for something to eat, because I'm like, this wasn't enough. But, I would try that Icelandic shark thing. Has anybody ever tried it? Yeah, if anybody listening's ever tried it, just email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. Let me know how it went. I would love to get somebody on the show that actually makes this stuff and, like, talk to them about it. So, gotta get somebody from Iceland to listen. Though, according to the dashboard on Anchor, somebody from India was listening. So, there you go. Hello, India. Wonderful. I have a lot of older people listening to it. I don't know if it's my relatives or something. It could be my Uncle Tom listening to this thing, or my aunt, or my cousins. If they are, hey, what's up? Because, like, on the Anchor thing, I can see, like, who's listening. Not, like, their names, but demographic-wise, I can see where they're from, their age group, if they're male or female, what they're listening on, like what device and everything. Because you're supposed to be able to know your audience, so you can kind of tailor your podcast to that specific niche, which I guess is good, but I kind of like don't want to do a niche thing. I want everybody to be able to listen, because there's a lot of podcasts out there that are just specifically for one group. I mean, anybody can listen to it, but like there's podcasts for people who just knit, and it's all about knitting. And that's great. Knitting is cool. I can't knit, but I have some knit blankets that my grandparents and grandmothers made me. But, like, their podcasts are all about knitting. Now, I admire that. I respect it. I wouldn't listen to it because I'm not interested in it, but that's their niche market. See, I don't want to kind of pigeonhole myself into something like that. I want everybody to be able to take in the enjoyment of the things I have to say. But I really have to get busting on getting more listeners. Because, you know, the name of the game is getting people to listen. You know, I'm pretty active on Twitter. I'm pretty active on Instagram. But it hasn't really translated into more viewers at a level that I would like. You know, if I could average... my first goal is to get to about 20 unique listeners each episode, and then go from there. You know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You know, and it's gonna take time, and I kind of want to, I think I'm a lot better at this than I was when I first started. I feel much more comfortable talking on the mic and less pausing and trying to collect my thoughts of what I'm going to say. But, you know, you got to improve your listeners. You know, that's the whole point. I got to make money. That's what I want. I need to make money. M-O-N-E-Y. So make sure when you're listening to Victims of Fun that you hit that support button and send me your hard-earned cash, because I need it. If I just had 100 people a month throwing me $5, I could pay for a lot of the equipment I need to make this podcast even better. A mixer, another microphone, you know, a MIDI board, you know, headphones, that type of thing. It would make everything a lot easier, you know. I don't even have a cover for the laptop. I mean, I really should get one in case it gets rained on or something. I don't know. I'm hoping the salt air is not killing this thing. It should be all right. I've seen people on the beach with these before. As long as you don't drop them in the sand, I guess you're okay. I was kind of hoping I'd see Godzilla in the water, but I guess not. Anyway, so that's it for Victims of Fun this episode. As always, email me, please, at victimsoffun@mail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, or on Instagram at Victims of Fun or Fun Victims. Just type in the search. But if you go on the Anchor FM website for Victims of Fun, you'll find all the social media buttons. And if you listen on Spotify, you'll see the same thing. And make sure you hit that support button and send me some cash. And I appreciate the people that are listening, and I hope that our little family grows. Because that is the ultimate name of the game. And remember, email me, victimsoffun@mail.com. Thank you again to Blue Microphones, to Seagate, and to Apple. And remember, Oak City Beard Company is the official beard balm, beard butter, and beard product of Victims of Fun. You should see my nice, soft beard that all the ladies just can't help but ignore. I mean, keep their hands on, off of, whatever. Yeah, we'll see. So, thank you, everybody. We will talk again next episode. Thank you very much. And remember, love each other, because the world needs more love. Thank you. Hey, give me another pina colada, man.